Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, Jason Wilde.
Is there anything anybody loves more than agreeing with Tauscher?
Packers Hall of Famer, Mark Tauscher.
I got a hunch this isn't going to be concise either.
Broadcasting live from the Everlight Solar Studio.
I would say that you are pretty easygoing. You're actually probably more easygoing than I am.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
Well, there's no, you're not easygoing at all.
Hey!
On 100.5 ESPN, the ESPN app, and Wisconsin On Demand.
Edition. The Tausch still on assignment edition. And Jesse and I really don't know where he is. Like, I don't think he was intending to keep it a secret, but people ask me where he's at. I don't know. So, stop asking. Edition. The am I being too flippant to Pollyanna-ish, to use Tausch's favorite word, about this Jordan Love thing? Should I be worried? Am I not conveying enough concern that he has missed the first three practices in shorts and helmets of training camp? Edition. And there's lots of other stuff going on to talk about from Packers camp. Eric Stokes with a couple of interceptions, but also a couple of miscues yesterday. The emergence, at least for one practice, of Rashawn Gary, the shuffling of the offensive line, all kinds of good stuff to get to. Edition of Wilde and Tausch. A 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, 100.5 ESPN Madison, 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam. ESPNWisconsin.com, the ESPN app, your Alexa smart speaker. Streaming live video, Twitter, sort of, Facebook and YouTube. And, of course, everything you need on WisconsinOnDemand.com and the Wisconsin On Demand app. I'm Jason Wilde in Green Bay, back in the basement. My bobbleheads had missed me. My new TV setup, I got to get the YouTube stream on there so you can watch while you're watching. But it's good to be back in the basement where I'm not distracted and it's not pouring down rain like it was earlier this week. Jesse Nelson is in the Everlight Solar ESPN Madison studios. Jesse, good morning.
Morning, Jason. I'm taking off tomorrow, just saying.
I saw that on the schedule. Can't say I was surprised. And, you know, we had Brian Bulaga the last couple of days as our cousin sub of the day, and he is so good. I mean, so good. But unfortunately, he wasn't available today, so we're stuck with this guy instead. You can hear him every weekday on the Homer Hour, twice a week with Bulaga, including later today. I'll join him as well. And he is the GOAT of Wisconsin Sports Talk Radio. He is Steve the Homer True, live in the Grubel offices, One Call, That's All studios at the Avenue at the 3rd Street Market Hall. Homer, good morning. How are you?
Good.
Great to hear it. Are you off this morning from your granddaughter Ubering? You were available today?
Yes. My wife has the duty this morning. It's the final day of her morning group, and so it's a little sad. Not Nancy, but Mia, who's the 8-year-old. She's very happy, though. I put her in charge of all the rules. I have rules for that I started. Rule one is that you have to be nice to everyone. And rule two is whatever your parents tell you to do, you do. They're always right. She said, well, then can I be in charge of the rest of the rules? I said, sure. So
what rules has she come up with?
I'll ask her. She says, excuse me, no interrupting. That's rule three. Use the phone all the time where we're in the car. Yep, okay, rule four. So she's very much enjoyed setting the rules.
So wait a minute. So she made a rule, no interrupting?
Yes. So I have to raise my hand to talk. And Jesse says, she'll go, no, I'm busy. And so
we should consider that rule around here.
I was just going to say, the wisdom of a child. We had never thought of instituting that rule. Somewhere Greta Van Susteren is wishing she had thought as wisely as your 8-year-old granddaughter. I'm impressed.
Correct. I would have not allowed her to set the rules, though. That's our 8-year-old. Yeah.
So are there any other rules we should be aware of? And are there any others that would be applicable, like using your phone throughout the car ride?
Correct. People think I'm wrong about that, but she goes on YouTube.
You are
and
wrong.
And so I observe, and she's very creative in the stuff that she watches. They just like, she likes all the kind of cartoonish stuff and things.
How are you able to observe with your eyes on the road?
Not 100%, but you hear it, you know. If there's a swear word or something. So, I mean, but I understand most people will probably be bothered by that, you know, the phone. But I haven't seen any real negative to it. It applies only when we're in the car, so it's not when she gets home stuff.
And is the two rules that you instituted?
Yes.
The one about your parents always being right. Is that something that will become more negotiable at a later age?
Just
especially when your parents are Steve and Nancy, and Steve's lying to you because that's what he does as a parent. I'm just curious if at some point she'll be able to push back on that, because sometimes kids are right and parents are wrong.
Correct, but the standard, just like I was taught by my parents about teachers, the teacher's always right. I said, well, what if it's a bad teacher? Doesn't matter. You'll learn more from living, and kids will be better by agreeing to whatever the teacher does. And if the teacher's bad, then that's the responsibility of principals and other people. But, yeah, so, oh, we had doesn't matter. Teacher's always right. Move on. Oh, man.
Explains a lot.
No, and I think it's a great principle. I agree with the principle. You're better off having your kids always agree to what the teacher's doing and accepting bad things than everybody in the family arguing over, well, there's a good teacher, there's a bad teacher, well, you're going to go in. It's like I got to interview Shaka Smart, and, of course, that's one of my favorite things. I wish he wasn't the coach at Marquette. Because things I say about him, people think it's because he's at Marquette. And it has nothing to do with that. I would say the same thing about Shaka if he coached anywhere.
Okay.
Rule one, every college player, if you have the choice, should play 1 year for Shaka Smart. Because it's not a basketball thing. It's a life thing.
Mm-hmm.
And wherever you go, whatever you do. Some kid, his father, was transferring, I won't say the name, but a pretty high-end school. And they were considering Marquette, but not highly. I don't think Marquette offered enough NIL money, but I can't prove that. So he says, what do you think? And I said, every kid should play 1 year for Shaka Smart for the benefits that you get as a person. And he said, okay. And the next day they announced that he was going back to the same school. So clearly I had an input on the decision by the father.
You're very influential.
I asked him, because I asked him about my kids, and I said, so these are the rules with the I knew he would have some stuff, and he's fascinated with gratitude. And I said, well, what happened? He goes, what do you mean? Well, you could do kindness. There are a lot of phrases. If you hear anything about Shaka Smart, the first thing people are going to say if they follow him is gratitude. Mm-hmm. He's obsessed with gratitude. So I said, what's the deal? He goes, he just kind of laughs because only you would ask that. Why? But, I mean, I thought he made a great point, because you have two choices, and his biggest concern is about entitlement. So his view of the importance of gratitude is because too many kids feel entitled, and you either, you know, it's one or the other. So your growth in ascending gratitude will limit your feeling of, on the other side, which he wants to get rid of, entitlement. And it's awesome. I get it now. That's why gratitude should be emphasized over kindness and other thing, because it deals with what is a really, I think, understandably a problem of kids feeling entitled. And that's not the kids' fault. Families are smaller. You have fewer kids. And it just creates a different environment that everybody's still trying to figure out. Everything I learned growing up was the result of being one of eight kids. Wasn't anything my parents taught me. How can you be that important when there are eight of you? You don't got a busted leg. Get better. We'll talk to you in the morning.
Okay. All right. I always enjoy when our conversations turn to your upbringing.
There's a lot of ground to cover there.
Because we can do 3 hours.
What do you mean
hours.
There's no ground to cover? In terms of development as a person, it's easier to do it in a large family than a small family. Doesn't guarantee it, but yes, I don't see how anybody can argue that point.
I think, as is frequently the case with you,
here we go.
There is middle ground that you are less than willing to acknowledge its existence.
Tell me I'm wrong. Tell me why I'm wrong.
So here would be an example. I think you're right to the degree that when there are more mouths to feed and people to develop as humans, fewer of them get a lion's share of the attention, right? Your parents had to divide their attention among you eight.
Yes. Not by choice, but by reality.
Right, by reality. I understand that. That said, the fact that there were people who thought you and your brother were orphans because your parents never came to any of your events, I would say would be part of the downside of this. Now, look, I don't want to get into Jesse's business here, but Jesse
is
only...
How is it a downside if I'm fine with it, my brother was fine with it? What is the downside?
First of all, I don't think you say you're fine with it. I am not a trained psychologist.
No, you're not. But you're just wrong on this. Now, I do want to say this because my son, my brother, who was 2 years younger, didn't want my dad around. He showed up and he kicked him out of the Little League, said, you can't come to my games. And my dad didn't come. I didn't actually realize he was ever there. So clearly, but anyway, what my parents failed to do is to teach us to care about our brothers and sisters. I didn't learn that.
That seems kind of important.
Well, they taught us to care about people, but uh-huh. No, they, for example, when
I think this is going swimmingly
pathetic,
for you, by the way.
Pathetically a human being. So my sister is maybe 10. All right. So we got these worst bikes ever. They wouldn't even sell them at Goodwill. This was in 1960, and the tire was as wide as a car tire. I mean, I don't know where my dad found this garbage. So my sister gets a brand new Schwinn. Red Schwinn, I don't know what the word is, and you have to be old to know. Schwinns were it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was not happy, and I went in her room, and she had a paper she had written for school, and I just ripped it up. Ripped it up and left it right there.
What?
Yeah, this was wrong. This was not fair. Why did she get this brand new bike? Wasn't even you, Schwinn. I have the same energy now that I did. I can tell you exactly in that house where it was, where the paper was. So my dad traveled a lot. He comes home and my mom says,
how old were you?
I think 8, 9, 10, okay. Somewhere in there. I can't defend it, whatever age I was. It was just so incredibly stupid. But my dad travels, he comes home, and you know, my mom says whatever, and he says, you know, you're going to get spanked for that. Because he spanked us, and I don't have any objection to it. Everybody can decide whatever they want about
that.
I
kind of want to spank you now.
Okay, so he spanks me, and he says, what do you have to say now? And I said, I'd do it again. How can you be so stupid? I don't remember if he spanked me again. I didn't care.
So
I didn't regret for 1 second. And all he had to say to me was, and now they're both passed away, so I can't, but look, There are five of you. She's the only girl. Okay? She's special. You know what it'd be like to be the only boy for? Like, she's special. Yes, she gets treated differently. She gets special things, and this is why. He never said that. He never said anything. We are all the same and all equal. And, but, I mean, how can you be? So, in terms of the lessons to my granddaughter, I always feel it's important that she recognize that other people live. Like, you know, you play with this person wants to play with you. Like, I was just so incredibly selfish, and my parents and being a taught me a lot. But how can you be that stupid? But I blame him that he did that and did never say, she gets treated differently.
Yeah, also the fact that girls' bikes are different than boys' bikes, but be that as it may.
Oh, not the Schwinn. I would have easily went, the Schwinn, yes, that has a lower, didn't matter. Schwinn, Reg, Typhoon, I think is what it was. Look that up. Typhoon, Tycoon. Oh, man. I've even thought of buying one now just to have one, but.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
I've made it in life. I got a Schwinn. I don't think Schwinns are worth anything now.
And then your sister could come in and tear up your show sheet for your show if you actually wrote one out. All right,
no one cares about this. They want to talk about the Packers. I want to apologize, but I just feel horrible. I can't believe I was. That's stupid and mean. And my dad didn't help me out. So
usually there's like a moral of the story, and I don't really understand what the moral of this story
was. Here's the moral of the story. Let me help you with this.
Yeah,
okay?
Give me the moral of the story.
So first of all, you basically managed to undo what had been a somewhat convincing argument, because we do have, and I say this with nothing but love in my heart for him, whatever, but we do have Jesse, who was raised as an only child.
Yeah.
And it is very clear that Jesse was raised as an only child.
Hey.
Whoa. Yeah.
Jesse,
yes.
You know that's true. You know
of
that's
course
true.
Of course it's true.
It might
and
be.
I don't blame his parents. That's what I'm saying. I'm curious how my parents would have raised one child. I think probably just like Jesse, though. And then,
there would have been no one to tear up your sister's paper, that's for sure. What my question is if you're going to argue that this was so great and that there were positives, you just undercut that by pointing out that somewhere along the way, lost in the education of the true children, was that you should give a damn about everybody else, and you didn't.
What? But
at some point, you learned that.
I did, yes. But I want to emphasize, my other brothers and sisters did. Like, they weren't selfish.
Just was like you.
Just me. Totally me, yes. I think it's maybe a middle child, they say like that. And my older brother was brilliant, and there was no way I could be half as smart as he was. My sister was incredibly pretty, that's irrelevant. All I'm saying is, if all of us were like I was,
we would have to question the parenting approach.
My dad was very good at treating everybody kind of differently, except in this case. I don't think he understood what it was like for a girl to grow up. And so over time, I blamed myself for my behavior, but blamed him for not helping me more.
Okay. How's well, this all started with Shaka Smart, which actually was far more interested in than the young Steve True dynamic.
Gratitude.
I agree. So go to Wisconsin On Demand. Listen to Shaka Smart. He mentioned the books. He's very curious, very smart, very books and things that he's following. And then the two things he had about his child. They have one girl. And I thought it was fascinating because I think that the problem with kids nowadays is more about their own self-worth and self-confidence. Which seems strange because if you're a smaller family, so he said, you know, be kind to people, starting with yourself. And there was another thing that he said, I can't remember, I'd have to look it up. But again, in both cases, he said, starting with yourself. And I think I'm not surprised. I think that's really right. And I don't know why kids are that way or why they some seem to lack self-confidence. Which clearly was never a problem with me.
The
fact that Shaka has added this to what he tells his daughter just reinforces my belief.
Yeah, I would just say this so we can, as much as I love putting you on the couch, especially anytime our conversations turn
it's your fault.
To your childhood, I am fascinated.
You should just say, move to the Packers.
No.
I haven't even given you the best stuff, and I'm not going to. Well, I want to talk about the Packers. I want to talk about Jordan Love.
Tosh will miss more days, so don't worry. We'll get the opportunity. But two things, and then we will move on as promised and hopefully get the...
Please go to WisconsinOnDemand.com and listen to Shaka Smart.
Get the listeners back who turned us off during your long soliloquy about your growth.
It's your fault.
So two things. One, I was interested in this from the beginning because I am a big Shaka Smart guy. I think at every time I've heard him speak, again, I told you I have a handwritten note I'd like you to deliver for me. Mm-hmm. I really think very highly of him. And so I am interested, and I will go to Wisconsin On Demand to hear that conversation. I would just say this about parenting, and Paula and I do not have all the answers, nor do we think we have all the answers. And we are also very lucky because both of our girls do a really good job of making parenting a lot easier. And I see other parents who have much more challenging situations, and I am thankful that our girls do not make it difficult. Tosh teases me for thinking they're perfect. Believe me, I am well aware that they are not. But
to this point, but please know that it can change and it's forever.
No doubt. And I would just say this about parenting today. It is a delicate balance because you do want your children to not feel entitled, to not be spoiled, to not be all about themselves. And at the same time, there are forces around them. And I would argue that kids are meaner than they were when I was growing up. And so there are forces that impact their belief in their self-worth, their self-confidence, etc. It is a balancing act of making them both feel special and understanding that they are not better than other people and they have to treat people the right way. And so I think our kids do a really good job of that, and I am proud of them, but I don't disagree that that is a challenging line to walk as a parent in 2024. And I don't think I could have handled 8. We would have loved to have had 4.
You'd have done fine.
This 8's a lot, and
you'd have done fine.
We'd have been getting a lot of bikes at Goodwill too. That's for sure. All right, we are going to shift to the Packers because I am sometimes, maybe too frequently, guilty of being so focused on all the aspects of the team that I cover that maybe I don't do as good of a job as I should of seeing the big picture.
See, so, this is my complaint with you. That's just crap. I don't know where you invent that. How do you come up with that analysis? It's not true. It's not the way you are, and it's not the way you do things. How do you come up with that thought?
Because I'm self-aware enough to realize my shortcomings.
It's not true.
Because of how my parents raised me.
You could say your shortcoming is you weigh 400 pounds. No, you don't weigh 400 pounds. To have a shortcoming, there has to be an element of truth to the shortcoming. You know what your problem is? You make shortcomings up.
All right, this is not true. I will explain my shortcoming and how it applies to the Jordan Love situation.
Okay.
After we hear from Tosh telling us about Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, we will discuss the Packers and not Homer's upbringing. Next, it's Wildy and Tosh.
ESPN Wisconsin's Mark Tauscher here for Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. And now is the time for a bad dad joke.
What did the window say when it was arrested? I was framed.
All right. Well, dad jokes aside, my mind is on windows because Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin has a fantastic deal going on right now. Pay as low as $18 per window and $81 per patio door per month. Pella completes the installation with no mess, no hassle, and no bad dad jokes, leaving nothing but perfect results behind. Certain restrictions do apply. This offer ends on July 31st. Visit PellaWI.com today to get started.
This is Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio. I'm not afraid of getting older. I will stay from dying young. I see the light and go past.
It's always a wild ride with Uncle Homer when he's in as our cousin sub of the day. Cousin Subs, we believe in better. All right, so I appreciate you saying that I create my shortcomings, but I am acutely aware of them. And I do think that I have not been thinking a whole lot about Jordan Love the last couple of days. And I think I am maybe missing how either concerned or irritated or whatever the emotion might be for Packers fans, because I'm kind of shrugging my shoulders, Homer, at, all right, so he's missed three practices. This is not that big of a deal. I'm focused on Eric Stokes. I'm focused on the safety competition alongside Xavier McKinney. I'm focused on the conversation we had with Brian Bulaga and me yesterday about, do they really have good depth on their offensive line right now? I'm focused on Rashawn Gary having three sacks in a four-play span of a practice, but wondering, is he going to elevate his game to the elite level that Tausch thought it was already at? These are all the things that I'm thinking about, and I'm not thinking about Jordan Love. Now, I will admit, I was thinking about him yesterday when Sean Clifford has struggled the last 2 days, and I wondered if in any way that might accelerate things with those conversations, but I'm not...
No, they all know he's no good.
I think in my conversations with Sean Clifford, I think he made some really interesting points about how things operate and the fact that he is throwing to guys he's never thrown to and throwing routes that he's never thrown. I am very curious as to how the process of preparing backup quarterbacks works in the NFL, because obviously you want your guy, your starter, your stud to get all the work so he's prepared for the game. But the fact that, like, the way this has played out in these first 3 days, that after an entire year in Green Bay, Sean Clifford is really not accustomed to the guys he's throwing to with the ones, makes me wonder if there's a better way to get occasional work for backups with the guys that they could be playing with if something catastrophic happened to your starter. I don't think he's as bad as he's looked the last 2 days.
Okay, but I mean, the answer to that is no, because it's just not important enough to... Yeah, you lose your starter, you're screwed. Okay, now you're screwed 80% because the likelihood of the talent of the backup, and so now you spend time on it, then you're minus 78%. So, no, he's just filling in because the starters takes a long lunch.
Well, I guess I am always worried about contingencies, I'm not an NFL head coach, but
you the contingency. If this continues and Jordan Love doesn't play, they're going to bring in somebody else. I think Tannehill's name came up yesterday by another host of one of the shows, but he's not going to be the starter, right?
No.
And
I don't believe that this is going to be something where we're getting to the first preseason game and Jordan Love's deal isn't done. But I do wonder, you know, I know Adam Schefter had said earlier in the week that he expected it to most likely be done by the end of the week. So if that's today, if that's tomorrow, if it's before the Saturday in pads practice, I don't know. Even if it is, I don't think at this point Jordan Love would take part in a in pads practice. I think he would be doing some drill work and then working his way in, but
still taking a long lunch. I do want to ask you this, okay? Because you're going to help. If it does happen this week, you're going to have to, from day one, tell people that whatever happens to the Packers this season, if it doesn't go as well as possible, you are not allowed to use the excuse that it's to any degree, even 1%, because Jordan Love was late getting to training camp. I'm putting you in charge of that.
Okay, good, okay. Because I think that plays into what I was saying about my shortcoming of not seeing the big picture, because, you know, in some conversations I've had subsequently, it sounds like there are Packers fans who are really worried about this and really bothered by this. So maybe that's
your
my
job
issue.
Is to tell them they're wrong and explain to them why they're wrong.
I, I, again,
you believe they're wrong, correct?
Maybe I'm not doing a good enough job of telling them that. But that was kind of what I was driving at when I said my shortcomings. All right. Well,
if you could help me with the schedule of just ask Jordan Love what he does, when he arrives, and then we'll let people decide if he's holding out or having a long lunch.
That's my suggestion.
It's not the team, but Jordan, just tell me what you're doing each day.
We'll talk a little more about this. I do want to ask Evan Cohen from a national perspective how the Jordan Love, because look, national media,
they're all wrong too.
Unsportsmanlike included, got a lot of mileage out of Jordan Love this offseason. A lot of conversations about him.
Yeah,
so I'm curious
legitimately
now,
so.
How nationally his hold-in is being viewed. We'll ask Evan that next. He joins us live from Unsportsmanlike.
Can
It'll
you
be
do
Evan
me a favor?
Sure.
Can you ask him about his growing up life so I won't feel like I ruined the show? So if he talks a little bit about him growing up. And
sure.
Was he an only child, or do you know his...
I don't actually know.
I do not believe he was an only child, okay. But we will.
But that's just a suggestion.
So
you're in charge.
It was such a bad topic with you. You feel like we should also do it with him. Is what
that
you
I won't
decided.
Feel as much blame when I leave at noon.
What was that you were saying about his son? All about you. All right, we will explore that next. It's Will D. and Tausch.
Red Sox.
Oh, the other way, Rafael Devers.
Yankees.
Oh.
Begins Saturday at 6:30 Eastern and Sunday at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on the ESPN app.
I'm throwing caution. What's it gonna be? Tonight the winds of change are blowing wild and free. If I don't get out of this town, I just might be the one who finally burns it down.
That music means that we are joined by the star? Mishmel Schmalman, I think, is the star of Unsportsmanlike. It is our friend Evan Cohen on Will D. and Tausch. Evan, good morning. How are you?
The star? I think I'm the fourth host on the show, and there's only three hosts, so I wouldn't say star, that's for sure.
Lipstick was very good today. Tell her to continue.
You know, Homer, it's such an interesting thing. Am I allowed to say that? Because she did wear different lipstick, and I noticed it. But can I say that to her?
It's a great question.
I think I am.
No,
right?
Now you have somebody else. This old man in Milwaukee, the first thing he said was, the lipstick, continue. Then you're home free.
You know what? Thank you, Homer. Thank you, Homer. You gave me an entrance into saying, you know, different lipstick yesterday. Let's discuss.
Homer is very also interested in your upbringing because he quite frankly overshared on his upbringing. it was
I'm never
a lot.
Talking about it again. I'm done.
No, but Homer was curious about your upbringing and how that has influenced the incredible success you've had in your career.
Yeah, how many brothers and sisters, that kind of stuff.
Okay, I'm going to answer that question, but is there a such thing as oversharing when it comes to Homer? You've built an entire career about just being honest and saying everything that's on your mind and dealing with whatever it is that people think about afterwards. Like, I don't think Homer can ever be accused of such a thing of oversharing.
I
honest as could be.
Yeah, with Jordan Love is holding out her long lunch. More time should have been mentioned.
I didn't think so either, but today I think we finally found the point.
I'll be real about everything in terms of my upbringing. I have no issue with that at all. So I have a sister. She's 3 years younger than me. We are insanely close. Like, we speak multiple times a day, still to this day. My parents, thank God, are both still alive. My dad grew up in the Bronx and Queens, New York, had nothing. My mom grew up on Long Island, was kind of more lower middle class. My dad worked and scratched and clawed his way to everything, and we definitely grew up probably upper middle class, I would say. And I was very lucky and fortunate, right? I don't know that I grew up on third base, but probably in a rundown between first and second or second and third, however you want to look at it, right? Like, I wouldn't ever deny that. And when I say that, I had the opportunity to work for a long time for free. And I think for me, that's not for everyone. I was very fortunate in that I can get as many internships as possible because my parents and my dad specifically were willing to provide for me for growth, not provide for me for everything. Like, I didn't have a car growing up, but, oh, you need to go to New York City, living outside of New York City, to work all day at an internship where you're going to learn? Yeah, they're going to pay for my transportation on a train or pay for me to have whatever experience it is. And I think the fact that my dad is from where he's from, I have a lot of that in me, even though I'm not from that area.
Ooh, that was really good. No, that was really good.
I have a follow-up if allowed.
Of course it's allowed.
Boy.
Is the follow-up going to be, would they have done that if you had seven siblings instead of one, like Homer did?
I don't see how anybody could have listened to that and not have the same question. Explain how you and your sister are that close as far as how often that you talk. I think maybe daughters and mothers. There may be, but I don't know of a brother and a sister that communicate that often at the age that you are.
Yeah, and I am 43 and she's 40 or 41, I forget now. It's a good question. So let me give you some facts and figures, so to speak, and you can maybe give the inference that you have, Homer, off of this. So when we were growing up, we would bicker and fight like any siblings. There would be times in college and after that we were going through, like, maturation towards adulthood where we would definitely have long periods of time of not talking, being in a fight, whatever it is. We both got I think this is the key, Homer, if I had to guess. We both got married to people that we would be friends with if not for being our brother and sister-in-law. In other words, I could see myself being friends with my brother-in-law if he wasn't married to my sister. And I've known my wife since I'm eight months old. My sister has known my wife her whole life, so they already had a good relationship. I think that is vital, because how many times do siblings marry people that the spouses are not necessarily connected to each other? Also, my sister is a child psychologist, so I think she has techniques to deal with me in ways that maybe other people would not. By the way, Homer, one other add-on, okay? My dad is an only child. My mom's relationship with her sister is close, but I don't get... They're on another planet, the two of them. So, like, I don't know... Okay, so there's your facts and figures. How do you want to infer that? Go ahead.
Nothing. I'm just curious. Now I gave the answer. It seemed like that's very rare, and so whatever your answer is the right answer because it explains it. But Jason, would you agree that that amount of communication with a brother or sister is rare?
Rare. Without delving into my own personal life, I would just say I'm envious that Evan is that close with his sister, and I thought that the level of self-awareness and sharing that just occurred was fantastic. So, with that said, I'm still not entirely sure why Homer wanted to do that, since he claimed that we had wasted time earlier in the show, which
personally. I did it for the audience. I think everybody listening, when he said that, had to think, really?
Yeah,
that
it was
often?
Great.
And I think if they're curious, they would want to know why.
Yeah.
And I'm done.
Yeah.
The juxtaposition between you basically telling us we had wasted the first segment with you talking about your upbringing and how great Evan was talking about his upbringing and his connection with his sister, the juxtaposition is kind of wild.
No, it isn't wild. I didn't have anything as good in what I said as he did with that one comment.
Right.
That's why.
That's the juxtaposition.
But Jason, I never said my upbringing was so great. What I said was I was fortunate to have advantages that my dad earned that I benefited from, and thus I felt I had to earn them as well.
Yeah.
There are certainly ups and downs in a childhood that I didn't realize could impact you until now. Like, there are things that I retroactively look at and say, I don't know how I feel about that, or that is why at 43 I am the way I am, and that's not a good thing.
Well, I first of all, I didn't say that your upbringing was always great and seashells and balloons. What you shared was great, and it was insightful and really interesting to me, both understanding you better and I think causing all of us to think about, because what's great about this, because I disagreed with Homer. I enjoyed our first segment. I do want to get to Jordan Love at some point, but what I think it forces all of us to do, which is what's special in my opinion about this show, because it happens with Tausch all the time, and I enjoy that part of it too, is that it makes you think about things other than just who's running with the ones at safety alongside Xavier McKinney. That's what I love about this job. And Homer sharing what he did made me think about my own upbringing and my relationships and everything else. I didn't overshare. But I think that's a good thing for people that are listening to do. That means we balance things out with the football.
Can I give you one other thing, though?
Sure.
Can I give you one other thing off of this?
Absolutely.
If you have never heard this, it may blow your mind like it did mine. And I'm fascinated for both of your reactions to this relative to your own lives. What I was told within the last year or two by someone, a doctor, therapist, was... the most important relationship a child has is the relationship they have observing, consuming, and watching their parents' relationship with each other. Let me be clear on that.
Brilliant. Brilliant.
So the most So the most important relationship for my two kids who are 10 and 8 is not my relationship with them or my wife's relationship with them. It's my relationship with my wife.
Mm-hmm.
And the moment I heard that, that is when my mind was blown of, what did I observe, positively, negatively, neutral, whatever it is, and how has that now impacted my life?
Mm. Homer, your reaction.
It's brilliant. I remember my father saying, and he didn't say it, he said, my mom was a nag, my dad drank and smoked all the time, but he said every day as a kid, every day I knew my mom loved my dad and my dad loved my mom. And I never forgot that. And he didn't tell it to me like it was important. But when I hear this, I say the doctor's brilliant. Because, yes, I think that is as important as anything that occurs in a kid's life. If my mom and dad have not gotten along, Jason, can you imagine how I would have been?
Given how you are already. Yes, I can.
I won't even go as far as. But go ahead. Sorry,
Homer. Next. Homer just indicated his parents did get along. Maybe they shouldn't have gotten along. It would have been better, actually.
All right. We will get off the therapist's couch and get into football here briefly with Evan, and that is this, Evan. I feel like Jordan Love and the Packers and this contract got so much airtime, internet space, ink, podcast, audio, and now after 3 days of him not practicing and holding in and being at camp, I'm wondering, is it even in the national consciousness? Like, are you guys talking about it on your show? How is this being viewed nationally? Because I admitted this is kind of how one of the things we got started on earlier. I feel like I'm kind of just ignoring it now. Like, there's so much other stuff going on. It's not really that important until he gets his deal done.
It's a great point, Jason. And I would say we have borderline ignored it too, / just treated it as a foregone conclusion. Like, for example, if I think about our last 2 days on the air relative to quarterback conversations, yesterday I said I would not give Tua a contract extension, and that I would take it year by year and franchise him if need be. That is a somewhat bold-ish statement, even if everyone agrees with it. Doesn't seem like the Dolphins are doing that. The Cowboys, unfortunately for a guy that I know we all like in Mike McCarthy, seemingly have no plan. And what we did today was we played the game of the most brilliant trade, the most productive trade maybe in NFL history was the Matthew Stafford-Jared Goff trade, because it was amazing for both teams. Could the Cowboys do something like that? So, in essence, we talked about the end of Dak Prescott. Also, and I'm getting to Jordan Love on this, but I'm proving your point. I said today that I believe 1 year from now, the most debated contract in the history of the sport will be whatever it is that the 49ers give Brock Purdy. And at no point did we say, well, wait a minute, what if this Jordan Love thing doesn't work out? Because it almost feels like, you know, the printer doesn't work. We're just waiting to get the ink to print the contracts. Of course we're done. We're good with this. No one, not you, not anyone, Adam Schefter, anybody that reports on this, has given any indication that maybe this doesn't work out. So we've ignored it because you've kind of told us it will.
Right. Yeah. And again, I felt like I was being viewed as a Chicken Little for suggesting for weeks that, hey, if this doesn't get done, is he going to sit out these practices? Is he going to hold in? And then lo and behold, that's exactly what happened. And so I'm trying not to be dismissive or make any presumptions of what's next. You know, again, Adam Schefter reported earlier in the week that the expectation is that it's done by the end of the week. Well, the end of the week is here. Today's Thursday. So is it going to get done during their off day today? Is it going to get done tomorrow before they have their first in-pads practice on Saturday? Or is this maybe something that we're going to have to reevaluate and say, oh, maybe they're farther apart than we realized all this time? So,
well, let me ask you both this. If you're advising Jordan Love, when does the in become an out? When does the hold in become, Jordan, we're not as close as we thought we'd be. We need a new approach. You showing up every day, it's too easy for them. We need you not to be there today.
Yeah, it's a really good question. I will say this, having watched three practices now, Sean Clifford has struggled. Not that you would make any sort of concessions in a contract based solely on, ooh, three practices. Our backup has not looked very good in his place. But I do think it reinforces how special they believe Jordan has become, that they have to be thinking, okay, we've got to find some common ground here and get this done. So if it continues on and we're suddenly at family night a week from now and it's still not done, then I wonder what David Mulugeta and Andrew Kessler and Jordan Love are willing to do to try and force their hand. Because I don't think we're at that point now. But that is the question, is at what point does this... Because, look, you mentioned Tua. I'm sorry. I feel like, and again, I don't cover the Dolphins, they're afraid that they're going to do what the Giants did with Daniel Jones. Feel compelled to pay the guy. They don't really love the guy as much as they want to love the guy.
Wait a minute. I disagree with you.
Really?
I think they would dream of doing what the Giants did for Daniel Jones. Look at his contract. Short, sweet, to the point, out of there. I think what they're afraid of is they don't want to give the Deshaun Watson deal, where it's too many years and too high of a price, right? Daniel Jones, I suggested, and I don't want to go too far off on the Tua thing, but he's 23 this year, assume his franchise tag, and next year is 40, and the year after that is 42 to 45. In essence, 3-120, they'd probably sign up for it right now. Jordan Love would laugh at that deal.
Right.
Laugh at that. Wouldn't even come. Jordan, that's 2 years for Jordan Love. I think, like, that's the thing. Some of these teams want shorter-term deals to hedge their bets. I don't think the Packers necessarily want a shorter-term deal to hedge their bet. But I know you got to run in a second. Can I ask you guys one thing?
Mm-hmm.
I was debating something about the Packers this morning. So every day on ESPN Radio in the offseason or the last couple of weeks, we have a rank-em series where you give a top five. And I was given the task today of top five NFL head coaches. And while I did not put this guy in, I really thought about it. Is Matt LaFleur even in the conversation for top five NFL head coaches? Because I thought about him on my list until I remembered, oh, yeah, Jim Harbaugh's in the NFL now, so that takes a bunch of guys out of that list because he is definitely a top five guy for me.
Mm-hmm.
But is LaFleur hovering around the top five? Is he a top 10 coach in the league?
I believe he is. I believe that having Aaron Rodgers as his quarterback made people think he wasn't as good as he actually is. I think what he has done with their offense puts him in the same conversation as his two buddies, Shanahan and McVay. But he has not gotten to a Super Bowl, which I think is what keeps him out of the top five.
Homer?
Agree totally. It's right now he's Steve Mariucci. And that's my belief that he will remain because he's nice, not tough.
Hmm.
But that's good. Mariucci was an outstanding coach, and similar to LaFleur, had the benefit of a great quarterback in Steve Young and did very well, but never made a Super Bowl. And Matt LaFleur will be Steve Mariucci too, unless he gets there.
How do you become tough in your mind? Like, how does he go about doing
it? He doesn't think it's not. It's about smarts. It's about brain power. He doesn't want some people like him. No, they need another assistant coach or someone on the staff who's really mean, tough, and everything. They're not. I don't think he believes that's the approach.
So do you think McVay and Shanahan are tough?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
I think Shanahan is.
Tougher than – LaFleur's not even – that's why they believe privately they will always own LaFleur. Both of them.
Now, I don't disagree on Shanahan, but I'm not – you know, Sean McVay is the one out of those three that has a Super Bowl championship. And I think Matt LaFleur is a lot more like Sean McVay than he is like Kyle Shanahan.
I would agree with that.
So – Evan, we know we got to let.
I left McVay out. I left McVay out, by the way, which may not be. I had Reed, Tomlin. I had Reed, Tomlin, Jim Harbaugh, John Harbaugh, and Kyle Shanahan. I really wanted to put Mike McCarthy in there.
It's hard to argue with that list, though. I'll take your next five the next time you're on, because I'm curious who 6 through 10 are.
Now, by the way, all I can think about now is Homer interviewing people as they're walking into family night about their family. Tell me about your upbringing. Homer Bulaga and John Anderson and Gary Ellerson live from family night, only asking people about their family. I kind of like that.
Digital only, I'm thinking.
The doctor.
Evan, thanks so much. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, guys.
That is Evan Cohen of Unsportsmanlike. We'll take your calls on your family dynamics, or maybe we won't, with Steve the Homer True as our cousin sub of the day. It's Wilde and Tausch.
Watch every ESPN Madison show live every day. Subscribe to ESPN Madison on YouTube for live video of every show and exclusive content. Just search ESPN Madison.
Cohen for continuing our 9 o'clock hour therapy session. I do think this is really interesting, and I am always fascinated by the human condition, so I'm always curious about what makes people tick, whether it's the players that I cover or the people that I work with. I'm still really intrigued by, I feel like every time you're on our show as a cousin sub, we get into your dad and your upbringing, and I'm fascinated by it because you, like Aaron Rodgers, are a complicated fella. And so I enjoy our conversations about this.
He's a complicated fella.
Wow, I'm compared to Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, both
no,
very
brilliant. No,
both
I'm not
brilliant.
Not as smart as he is and not as complicated.
Yeah, you're more complicated than you give yourself credit for. Let me put it that way.
Yeah. I might use that on my resume.
But anyway, we will segue into some more Packers training camp conversation.
More?
I know. Some.
Nicely done.
We had a Jordan Love topic in there with Evan briefly. Come on. We cover that base slightly.
No, we got a little Matt LaFleur in there. I like that. I think he's.
I don't think you're wrong about the toughness or the meanness factor, but again, I think I like Sean McVay a lot. I think he's a very good coach. I think he's innovative. I think he's energetic. I think Matt LaFleur patterns himself more after McVay than he does Shanahan. And you can say what you want about how smart or how tough or whatever else Shanahan is. He's got a bunch of really, really good players, and he's been in position, whether it's as a coordinator in Atlanta or as a head coach in San Francisco, to win Super Bowls, and he hasn't done it.
Yeah, that's whatever true. That McVay was given all the players. He got her done.
Yeah. So we'll continue our conversation about that and much more during the 10 o'clock hour. I want to remind you, I tell you this all the time, I hope you never have to make that call. One call, that's all. I hope you never have to make it because it means nothing has happened to you where you've been seriously injured in an accident. But if that does happen, It's reassuring to know that the best in the business will be on your side if you make that one call. That's all. And that's David Gruber and Gruber Law Offices. 414-276-6666. 414-276-6666. Gruber Law Offices. Go to the website, gruber-law.com. Find out more about the history of the firm, all the great lawyers there, and what they do in the community. But if it comes to that, make the call. One call, that's all. 414-276-6666. The 10 o'clock hour of Wilde and Tausch, shockingly, starts late in 2 minutes. So stick around.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin, the ESPN app, and Wisconsin On Demand.